Hi everyone, and welcome back to Inside Knowledge, your summer catch-up. As always, I'm your host, Thea. Today, we're once again joined by Paul Lynch, who will speak about the war in Ukraine and whether the world leaders took the right approach in this situation. Hello, Paul, again on the Lit Summer podcast series. It's great to be with you again. So during our first talk, we talk about Boris Johnson and his leadership and the new Prime Minister of the UK. But today, I want to speak with you about the terrible war that's currently happening in Ukraine. So as a result of the war, many European leaders have imposed sanctions to Russia to try and stop its actions against Ukraine. However, this hasn't proved successful so far. So do you think that world leaders use the right approach in this situation?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's worth sort of stepping back a little bit from, you know, the words sort of war or the, you know, the conflict and the crisis and all of those sorts of things, and just trying to understand that sort of slightly more macro picture of what those global leaders are faced with and then the questions that they're looking at. So sanctions are an action, but they're not necessarily an action that has a linear result to them. So, you know, it could be in some instances that you impose sanctions and it creates a stop, or it, you know, creates an outcome where, you know, you're able to halt the aggression or whatever it is. But actually it's two other things. One is it's a long-term game. So it's, you know, highly unlikely that sanctions in and of themselves quickly will produce a response, you know, immediately, because, you know, Russia will have been preparing for that. And, you know, a lot of the effect of sanctions is actually a bit more longer term. The second thing I think to say is that sanctions actually is a communication mechanism. So it's a way of us communicating something collectively, in which case there has been a degree of effectiveness about that, around everybody coming together and having a similar approach. And whether or not they've gone far enough or not is up for debate. But it's a communication mechanism about cohesion. And it's a communication mechanism about intent and where you're prepared to get involved and what your standpoint is. So, and then you can see the response, and that in itself provides you information to help make the next decision. So I think from that perspective, it's a much more strategic play than necessarily just about producing a response to, you know, stop the atrocities and all the things that are happening. So I think it's a broader context to that. And I'm sure, you know, from a strategy perspective, there's many things at play in terms of how that works. So I think that's really similar to any situation when you're looking at effectively what outcome are you trying to achieve. And I think, you know, that's the key thing in these types of situations, is our automatic response might be, well, they have invaded, so is sanctions enough? Perhaps we should. But there's some emotional response in that, and there's also some reactivity in that. And what's really interesting is the strategic communication that is happening through these mechanisms that enable both sides to understand positioning. So, and then for the, you know, the group of organizations, the group of companies, countries that we are collectively working with to help make decisions about the outcome that we're trying to reach, rather than just, you know, reacting to something with similar aggression or similar action. So I sort of see it in a slightly broader context, I suppose, than just the simple act of, is this the answer to that act? Unfortunately, and really unfortunately, you know, these situations mean that while that communication and positioning is happening, you know, there's terrible things happening on the ground. So, you know, but I think it's a much broader question about, you know, whether or not it's been effective. And I think the long view will give us the answer to that rather than the short-term view.
Yeah, it's probably too early now to say whether those are effective at all. But did anyone particularly stand out in your opinion, opinion as a great example of leadership in this crisis situation?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because Zelensky, you know, is very widely spoken about. And I think the things that he has done, I was thinking about sort of, there's two things in particular that I think have been really interesting about how he's approached this, that have meant that people are looking to him and thinking, wow, what an interesting, great leader. One of them is, you know, just his absolute commitment to stay and be part of what was happening. So he had the opportunity to leave and lead from afar, and he didn't. So in that situation, you know, he's seen as one of everybody else. He's therefore able to inspire those people because he is one of them. And he hasn't, you know, moved away to his own safety and then asking people to do something he's not prepared to do. So, and that's the first thing, that key messaging right from the start. The second thing is just extraordinary capability to communicate. You know, and that is communication all the time. You know, so that is communication with the outside world. And he's, you know, he'll pop up on a video screen at the United Nations just as much as he'll pop up at a, you know, pop concert. You know, and he's talking past political leadership and into populations as an understood how to use new media and any media to share a message, to create a movement. And that's really, really interesting. And the message hasn't changed. It's really simple and it's really straightforward. And it's just repeated and repeated and shared very, very widely and not through necessarily being held up by any bureaucratic channels. It's going direct. And I think those two things have enabled him to create the momentum to be able to inspire, you know, such incredible affection and support, not just at political levels, but, you know, in genuine human beings. It's a really human, interesting approach.
Yeah, I can absolutely see that. And then finally, what advice would you give to business leaders and managers who need to act swiftly in such crisis situations? How do they make sure they take the best possible decisions?
Yeah, so it's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes crisis actually brings out the best of teamwork, actually. And in many organizations I've been in or I work with, things get done in crisis situations that we spend years trying to get done. And then afterwards we say, oh, why could we do that then and we couldn't do that now? But equally, there's really important things that tend to happen with great leaders in crisis. And one is, it's not one person, but it's a trusted collective of people so that you're able to take action quickly, but it's also not just one person. So there's a trusted collective of people, you know, inputting into fast decision making. Decision making is all about the fact and the acceptance that we'll get some decisions right and we'll get some decisions wrong, but we just have to make a decision and then fail fast and move quickly, and the acceptance of that. I think the real, I just mentioned this about Zelensky, but the real clarity of mission. Don't need to make it more complicated. The simpler we can keep it for everybody, the better, because that clarity enables everyone at all levels in all strata to make decisions quickly on their own, because there's no complicated, oh, is this right? Is this wrong? No, we know. And so decisions can get made throughout the system. And then I think the final thing is that in any crisis situation, everything becomes very human very quickly. And I think we saw this in the pandemic with Jacinda Ardern, for example, in New Zealand. She made some very difficult policy introductions in New Zealand, but she started from the human perspective and she spoke to people about their human experience first, then introduced the policy, as opposed to we introduce the policy and then we sort of try and catch up with the human experience. And, you know, in crisis situations, people are worried. having a human response. So I think that sort of really focusing on the human element of it is critical as well.
Yeah, I really like that, focusing on the human moment. So yeah, I hope more leaders listen to your advice, and thank you very much. It was a great conversation once again.
Thank you.